Welcome. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. It's raining where I am in California, which is great news for us because we have had a drought. So not only is it good for the crops, but it's good for the kids. The kids are dancing in puddles. They're just so excited about the rain because it's an anomaly here. I know that if you live in other parts of the country, that's hard to imagine. But in Los Angeles, we get so little rain. We sometimes get only single digits a year. So it's crazy. Right now, speaking of digits, I am in the wake of my daughter's 10th birthday, which was yesterday. And I find for some reason that 9 to 10 transition was super challenging for me. I just felt like it's really sad in a way. It means that she'll probably be living at home for less years than she's already lived at home. So she doesn't have that many years remaining at home before she goes away to college. And I know it sounds funny to think about that if you're a teenager, you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's so far away. But she's already 10, and there's that transition between 9 and 10 where kids become so much more mature. And I've noticed it in my daughter. And I think one of the hardest things about parenting, and you probably know this from listening to this show for so long, is that if you're doing a good job, your kids are flying away from you and they're flying far. And so it's a very strange job because it's incredibly rewarding. But the better you do with a job, the farther your kids will fly. So it's a very strange thing. It's a little bittersweet all along the way. It's a series of, you know, constant sort of nostalgic losses along the way to victory. It's a very odd experience. Right now I have Tommy on the line. Tommy, are you there?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Tommy?
Doing good. You know, hearing about this, you know, job and kids and marriage, it's just a lot of when you're multitasking, you know what I mean? And that's what it is. But, you know, blink of an eye. The kids grow up in a blink of an eye, but I also agree with showing responsibility and stuff like that. And I think that it's important for people to go ahead and show the kids responsibility and how you can, you know, not quit things and follow through with things and stuff like that. Easier said than done sometimes. You know, if I tell my kids, do as I say, not as I do. You know what I mean?
Well, you hope that they do as you say and not as you do, right? It's always a tricky thing.
Right, because I've, so everybody gets in those positions, and they come to you with questions, and they come with the answers, and I enjoy it. So, I have kids, obviously, and been there, done
that. How old are your children?
17, I have two girls and a boy, 17, 15, and 13, and, you know, and then I have a wife, too, who's, but as my wife says, she's raising four kids because of me. So it's always fun to be able to do that.
So if your wife called me with her work-life balance issues, we would point to you.
Well, yeah, she was a teacher. But if you're going to use your boundaries and if you're going to use your job, and I have done this, I'm going to tell you, I've made a mistake. I was for 20 years going strong, and I missed so many things, many games, many opportunities for the kids. And now I've taken a different role. So I think it is important for people to look at that and say, which is more important? Because in the end, you're going to look back and think, why did I do this or do that? So don't you think that that's important to maybe take a look at it?
Absolutely. And I love that you're sharing it with our listeners because, so, you know, we don't often hear that perspective of someone who was a workaholic for 20 years and looks back and wishes he wasn't. Tell us more about what your life was like and what you would have done differently.
Well, it was constant. I mean, here's the thing. I was running a few different businesses and also out at events and this and that. And so my schedule was different. So
what was your career? What kind of businesses were you running?
Music. It was in music and artists. And so I would see a lot of shows and we would go to events. And so sometimes I didn't get home until midnight or later or be gone. My schedule would vary sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon. I was always gone in the afternoon, and my daughters would have games, or my son would, and I couldn't pick up the kids for this, for that, for dance, for whatever. And so my wife was always doing it, so then it ends up putting a burden on everybody. And so that's why I think it's important for you as a man or you as a woman, whoever it is, whoever you feel or whatever you think, to go ahead and look at what your situation is, and then you know, assess maybe what is the most important, because I've been there, done that, and I actually took, I quit everything and said, forget it, and changed my lifestyle and everything just to be with family more.
How did you do that financially? Because I know that a lot of our listeners dream of quitting their crazy busy life, but when they look at their bank accounts, they think, there's no chance I can do that. How did you do it?
I won the lottery. I'm joking.
Oh, I was like, wow, so you're a unicorn. So tell us about that. Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I am just one of those things that we put a little bit of money back, and now you can pull back, you know what I mean? You can maybe downsize things. You cannot spend as much. Maybe go through your account and find out what you're spending a lot of the money on and decide, you know, I'm going to pull back on that. And, you know, I was spending money on this or that or whatever, wasting $500 a month or $400 a month, and realizing that there's no reason for that. Or so you take wasteful spending. I sound like a politician now. Wasteful spending out as much as you can, and downsize and live within your means. I hate to say it, but it's true.
So you really, you saved money, you downsized, you cut your budget so that you could work less.
That is, well, not really work less. I still do a job, a different job, more what I, you know, a different job. Don't make as much, no, but there's not the stresses, and I'm able to pick up my kids, and I'm able to go to my kids' event. I make it a purpose to be able to attend those. So that's why I chose that.
So tell us exactly what the relationship with your kids was like before and how it's different now.
Well, I've always had, I mean, I try to have the best relationship I can. You know, obviously with girls, it's different. They're more, I guess you'd say they're, you know, apple in my eye. And they were, you know, my best friends up until they get teenagers, and it changes. You know, but my son, he still is. And the girls are more closer to their mom because it's just, they can talk to them about things. My son and I talk about things that maybe he can't with, you know, his, just, I'd pull him that, you know, maybe his, what do you call it, his mom. And so we talk about that, so we become close. And but still, you're not there. You're not picking them up. They see who's doing more, the majority of the work. I mean, my wife, I mean, had an SUV taxi. That was it. And she was working in the, as a teacher in the morning doing preschool. But they saw that. And so I still wish that I could bring it. I wish I could go back, to be honest.
And what's interesting is, so let's talk for 1 second about the gender situation, because I really do believe that when you look at the way girls and boys are with their dads and moms, those relationships shift on a dime. So tomorrow, your daughter could feel closer to you than she does to her mom.
Exactly.
It really does change so fast. So I just want to, you know, caution you against thinking that that's a permanent condition, because it really changes.
Oh, no.
As you probably know, over time, it changes so fast. But you know, by tomorrow, she could feel like you understand her better than her mom does. I mean, that's the wonderful benefit of having two parents for kids who are lucky enough to have two parents. It really is that those relationships form different needs at different times.
Oh, exactly. And I agree with you. You know, things will change. And it's like, you know, we raise our kids in the Christian home and stuff like that, but they will go back to it. Maybe, you know, down the road, you never know, but it's the same thing. I mean, my wife is a very good woman and a very good wife and a very good mom. It's very close because we're not just parents, you know what I mean? My dad was very businesslike, very, very kind of strict and practical, and this way. And so I guess I've kind of gone a different way in some ways that I try to be with my kids. I mean, I try to be their friend also, plus their dad. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, so you kind of learned what worked and what didn't from your own father.
As I tell my kids, you can learn what not to do than more than a lot of times from somebody than just what to do.
Right, right. That's absolutely true. Now, we're going to go to a commercial break soon, but I really, Tommy, would like to keep you on the line because I would love to hear from you a little bit more about what your current life is like and how we could make it even better. So if you're listening, please do stay tuned. We will be right back after the commercial break. And you can always reach me all week long on Twitter at Samantha Edis or on Facebook at facebook.com/Samantha Edis, where we have a very vibrant community of working parents, 26,000 plus working parents, and we talk every day. So please do join us, and we'll be right back after the commercial break. Thanks. About the things we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Now.
Welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and right now we are on with Tommy. And I love when we get callers like Tommy because Tommy is calling us after years of experience as a parent of two girls and a boy. All of them are, they're all in their teens. Is that right, Tommy?
Yep, that is correct.
And Tommy made a big life change when he stopped working so much and tried to be a lot more present for pickups and drop-offs and just being around more with his kids. And he's sharing a little bit of a look back with us and some of his regrets and some of the things he's done right based on his years of experience. Now, Tommy, today, what is the biggest challenge in your life?
Probably, you name it. I'm not the best at cooking, cleaning, and then I love to, I eat, and I eat in bed late or whatever. That's an issue, but, you know, whatever. I guess right now the biggest is, and I'm glad you was going to ask you earlier, what do you think about, you know, my wife was talking about maybe they're volunteering, I am too, and showing the kids some volunteer work, and also possibly, doing some book readings at libraries and stuff like that. Those will be good things for my wife and I to do because, you know, I'm home a lot, so that's changed the dynamic a little bit.
Well, of course, those are good things to do, but I have a sense that you could, you know, you could come up with those things at all times, right? There's certain things that are great to do as volunteer activities as a family now, and then there's other things as your kids move out of the house and you become empty nesters, then you have a lot more time in your hands, and that's when you can really dig in and maybe be a mentor to a young person or commit yourself even more fully to more volunteering positions. It's a wonderful way to fill in some of those gaps that exist naturally when you have an empty nest. But it's, you know, one of the things that I sort of hear you say is, you said, oh, you brushed over, oh, you know, there's some health things, like I could, you know, I eat late at night or I eat in bed. I want to hear more about that, because those little things, the things you don't want to talk about, those are the things I want to hear about. So tell me more about that.
All right, I am a gummy bears are like my gummy life favorite. Gummy anything is like my treat, and Dr. Pepper, I mean, I could just, I'd take it intravenously if I could, but Dr. Pepper, I would say, but that, you know, and my wife and I are spending a whole lot more time together, and we are really, you know, and right now I think that with me being around a lot, I'm helping out around the house, doing a lot of work around the farm and stuff like that as much as I can, but still, I think that there's importance of hobbies. You know, what's something I could bring up for a hobby for my wife? And we've been together for a long time, but now that you're into the rut of the kid, you know, it's like we're looking for something else. I think we're going to do some exercise, maybe join a club. But, you know, I think that my wife and I need some hobbies together. That's one of the...
Okay, well, first of all, Tommy, this is one of my favorite questions I've ever had on this show because I just did a lot of research for my upcoming book on hobbies one of the chapters is all about hobbies. And hobbies are excellent for your health and for your relationship. They actually help every area of your life. And there's a bunch of ways that you can come up with new hobbies, especially as our kids get older and need us a little bit less. It's a perfect time to take up a new hobby. And hobbies are wonderful for your health, and they're going to be great for your marriage. So one of the ways, if you're looking for a hobby, one fun thing you can do is, where's the closest university or college? How far is that from your home?
Oh, not far at all, about 20 minutes.
Okay. So what I would do is I would go today and pick up a course catalog, a nighttime course catalog at the college. Now, I'm not saying you and your wife have time right now for a weekly course. Maybe you do. If you do, that would be such a fun thing for you guys to do together. If you don't, just going through it together will be an adventure in finding, you know what, we should learn ceramics, or we should take a stand-up comedy class, or we should learn how to garden. All of those things will come up when you read through the course catalog, because you'll see all these things that you hadn't thought of. So that's one wonderful way to kind of get your energy thinking about what other things you could take on or learn.
Sorry, I couldn't get past the ceramics. What? I'm just playing. I actually really love that idea. Because, and actually, there's a library up the street that does some like computer classes and different classes on how to do things. And so I was thinking about doing that. So I will enroll in those for sure, my wife and I together, and then we're going to do some exercising. But that's
yeah, and you know, you could change your life tomorrow by, I'm a big fan of rituals. So saying that every Tuesday or every Wednesday, start tomorrow, every Wednesday, you and your wife go on a walk together after the kids go to school for an hour, and you go in a different direction every day. Like, that's a wonderful thing to start doing that doesn't require you joining a club or whatever it is. It's just something to add to your day and add to your life together. So incorporating those rituals, you know, another thing is, I don't know if you and your wife go on a weekly date night, but I'm a huge advocate for those. And
yes, Friday night.
Oh, you already do it. Okay, so one of the ways to spice those up a little bit is to take turns planning them. So you surprise each other. You know, once a month you have a surprise. I'm going to surprise you in February. You surprise me in March. And you plan a night that's really fun. And that could be literally anything from hitting balls at a driving range to, you know, exploring a new Chinese restaurant. It can be anything that you think you both would like. But that's one way to sort of add a little more adventure and spice to your relationship. And then the other thing is that when you are, you know, in a long-term marriage, one of the best, or any relationship, one of the best things you can do is experience new things together. So the reason you're on such the right path with this hobby thing is because any new skill you learn together is something new. Anytime you're volunteering together, you're having a new experience together. And so that kind of thing does wonders for your relationship.
What do you think about this? This is our anniversary is coming up at the end of the month. This was an idea I had. I want to see what you think of this. At the end of the month, we're going to do is it's, we're going to go out of town for two nights. And then one of the days is what I thought is we go to the mall. The hotel is actually connected to the mall. They go to the mall, or we both do. We split our separate ways, buy an outfit, dress up, whatever, and then meet at the restaurant at a certain time. You think that's cool?
That's the cutest idea I've ever heard. I want to do that. I think that sounds like a blast. That is so much fun.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome, and I think your wife will absolutely adore that idea.
I am very romantic, so she...
Yeah, you're making totally every female listener melt right now.
Well, then, I am that guy who likes to do those things, and kind of spontaneous, too. I'm not
awesome.
Going to lie to you, but...
I love that. Well, Tommy, we are
so
out of time. Thank you so much for calling, and please do keep in touch and let us know how it goes.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. And for all of you listeners out there, please do connect with me all week long. Join our very vibrant Facebook community, which I post at every day at facebook.com/Samantha Edis. And you can also sign up for my free weekly newsletter of work-life balance tips at SamanthaEdis.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
I had a way then, losing it all on my own. I had a heart then, but the queen dream has been overthrown, and I'm not sleeping now. The dark is too.
Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And for our new listeners on this show, we talk about work-life balance, we talk about relationships, careers, parenting, and everything in between. Right now, I have Afote on the line. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. And where are you calling from today?
I am calling from Piscataway, New Jersey, and
I'm
excited to be on the show today with you.
Wonderful. And how can I help you today?
Yeah, so my question is more, a parent question, if you will, and it has to do with spanking, particularly. So first of all, I'd like to know what your take on it is, and then also... whether you are pro or against, I'd like to know what situations would sway you either way. That's all.
Well, tell me about your own situation first.
Well, me personally, I have four children. The oldest is, well, she'll be 13 on Sunday, and the youngest is four months, actually. And I have never had to raise my hands to them at all, not once. I think the fact that my voice is so deep and I'm good with creative punishment has kept me, you know, safe from doing that. But I personally, when I was young, you know, I was kind of a knucklehead. So my parents, particularly my dad, he beat me. It wasn't necessarily abuse in the sense that, you know, I wasn't getting beatings all the time. It was kind of like a last resort. Like, you know, you stayed out until X hour of the night, you know, and I've told you not to do it for weeks on end. And, you know, you're still doing it. So pow, you know, that kind of a thing. And I personally feel that it made me a better parent because, A, it kind of informed me, you know, and educated me as to what not to do in terms of punishment, I guess. I guess you can tell I'm not pro-spanking. I used to be pro-spanking, but I'm not anymore. Once I had kids, then, you know, kind of lost that drive.
My dad, go ahead. No, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say I don't want to, you know, paint my dad as a bad father. He was a really good father. He's still alive. I shouldn't say was. He is a good father. I love him to death. We get along great and everything. So, but I just, you know, wanted to point that out that I was spanked when I was little.
Okay. So here, let me interrupt you here. So Afote, first of all, you know, there's a couple of really interesting things you've said here. One is you've broken the cycle of spanking, which it brings me to tears. It makes me so happy. I wish there were many, many, many more people like you. Because there is literally nothing okay about spanking a child. And if you look at all of the data, I've pored over the research on this subject, I pored over the science, and the science backs it up that it leads to kids' increased aggression, antisocial behavior, and it permanently alters children's brains by reducing gray matter, which has permanent mental health impacts. So this
wow,
is why
I didn't know it was that deep.
Yes. And really, you know, I would say you turned out awesome despite the fact that you were spanked. And what happens is that so many people will say, well, look at me. I turned out great, or I turned out fine and I was spanked. And what people forget is they turned out fine despite the fact that they were spanked or beaten. And unfortunately, we have no idea who they could become if they hadn't been spanked or hadn't been beaten. Because what happens is when you start out in the world with fear-based parenting, so you're starting out a child with fear-based parenting, you're teaching that child never come to me with a real problem because you never know what I'm going to do to you. And that means that when those kids get to high school or they become teenagers, they never come to their parents with problems. They go to their friends with problems. And their friends are the last people, right? You don't want that to happen. You want them to trust you. But what always breaks my heart now that I'm a parent of three is seeing these little innocent kids, the only, you know, the number one person that they look up to and trust in the world, sometimes physically really hurts them. And it just makes no sense. And so what you've done, you know, people always say to me, I'll get stopped at Disneyland or whatever. Oh, your kids are so well behaved. And every time I want to turn to them and say, and by the way, they've never once, ever, ever been spanked or ever been physically hurt. And I think
that helped.
And your kids are wonderfully behaved. And
They actually are. They call my son, I have three girls and a boy. My son, he's 4 years old. They call him the mayor at daycare. Because he's just so well-behaved and everybody loves him. So
that is incredible. And I would, every time I go to a parent-teacher conference, I have three very different kids. They all say to me, there is no bigger, you know, sort of person I lean on in the class as a student who models good behavior than your child. And I really believe it's because they trust their parents and they've never once ever been physically hurt by us. And I think it's so critical. And I really do think that there's a link between good behavior and not spanking. And your kids are evidence of that.
Yeah, excellent.
I mean,
I definitely believe that.
And so, you know,
to the second part of the question, though, what would kind of sway you to spank one of your children? I mean, like, is there any situation that you could think of where you would think it was okay to, you know, not necessarily beat them, but, you know, maybe a pop or two, you know, like a spank on the bottom or something? Like,
no, I think there is zero situation. And if you look at the science that I just mentioned, I mean, there is no situation in the world that justifies physically hurting your child. And by the way, that doesn't mean that I don't want to tear my hair out. I get so frustrated with my own kid. That's natural, right? We all get so angry at our kids sometimes, but the worst thing you could ever do to alter your relationship with that child is to physically spank them or hurt them. And, you know, what I've noticed happens is that it's just like a drug, right? If you start spanking your kid, then where do you go next? Then they do something even more severe. And then what do? So what I find is that my kids are so used to not, you know, being ever being spanked and not ever getting punished, that even just saying to them, I'm really disappointed you did that, brings them to tears, right? It's like your expectations of them are super high. And then when they don't meet them, they know that from your tone of voice or whatever you're saying, and it makes them actually really sad.
That's precisely the tact that I've taken with my children. You know, I get mad at them, but I don't necessarily, you know, show out, like, you know, the sort of anger that I have in my head.
I'll just kind of
make them see that daddy's disappointed in the way that they acted, and that upsets them. So that's kind of, you know, one of the fallbacks that I've had.
Exactly. And I really do think that works beautifully. And I, you know, I wrote about this for the Today Show website. And I said that one of the things to take it a step further from what you're saying is that we have to get to a point where now there's 30 countries that have made spanking against the law. So in 30 countries, it is against the law to ever hit your child. Now, what does that say about the U.S., right? We have no laws about it. And so when I am in an airport and I see a parent spanking their kid or being very physically aggressive with their kid, I do say something. I go over to them and I say, that's not okay to treat a child that way. And they'll turn to me.
Sure that
and
goes over well.
Exactly. You can imagine how much they appreciate that. Yes. I make friends everywhere. So they'll say to me, well, my kid is none of your business. And you know what I say to them? Actually, that's not true. Children are all of our business. Children are the future. And at the end of the day, those same people in the airport who walk by a parent spanking their kid or hitting their child, if they walked by a person kicking a puppy, would stop. Right?
Right.
So why aren't we stopping when we see a parent hitting a child?
Good point. Excellent
that's,
point.
That's what we all have to get to a point where it's so stigmatized that you cannot do that anymore. It's just not okay. And as I said, the science backs me up that what it does is it really, I mean, it alters children's brains. It reduces the gray matter, which is permanent mental health impacts. So I think if we socialize that idea more, if more parents were aware of that, then more parents would break the cycle like you have.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I appreciate you taking my call, and thanks for the wonderful conversation. It's just, I mean, I totally agree with everything you just said.
Afote, thank you so much for calling, and please do keep in touch. We'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned. And I am thrilled to be with you today. And I have been thinking a lot, as I mentioned earlier in the show, about double digits because my daughter just turned 10 yesterday. And it seems like a huge milestone, not only in her life, but in mine, to be a parent of a double digiter. And I think, you know, one of the things about parenting, and we have so many callers on this show, and it breaks my heart a little bit every time, that talk about their kids who have failed to launch, right? They've turned 18, they turned 20, they turned 25 even, and they can't get them out of the house. They can't get them off to college. They can't get them off to the real world, to a job. They just don't leave home, or they're lazy, or they're unmotivated. And we forget sometimes along the way that our biggest job as a parent is to give our kids the wings to fly. And the hardest thing about being a parent is that they basically, we're setting our kids up to fly away from us. And there's nothing more painful than that idea, right? You're in love with this child, you're dedicating your whole world to them in some ways. And if you do a really, really good job, they'll fly really far away from you. And that's just one of the trickiest things to understand as a parent and to sort of adjust to and deal with. Right now, I have Jacob on the line. Jacob, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling from Texas.
Well, I'm so glad you called, and how can I help you today?
I'm a first-time caller, but I've seen you on YouTube. You do relationship stuff, right? You talked about flying far away, right? Well, my lady friend, we are very far away from each other. She's at least over 900 miles away in another country, English-speaking country, by the way. And we're more into the traditional kind of thing. So. How do I deal with being so far away? I have no way of getting out to her, and it's really just since 2007 was the first time I met her.
And how did you meet?
I have core beliefs. Actually, I met at church. And someone introduced me to her. She was visiting from over 900 miles away. And, it was like water just rushed upon me. Like when I got about 2 feet away from her, I mean, it's unbelievable. And since then, we've gotten closer since we met, but I've actually gone up there once. But it's so strong, but at the same time, it's just so far away. And I just, I don't know, it's so hard to explain, but.
Well, it's an unusually long time to have a long distance relationship, right?
Yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Like I said, since 2007.
So it's been 8 years.
Met. And then later, I got onto Facebook, and then I think it more started there. But I was a few years back from now. But that was when I met her back then.
Okay.
And then I got off of Facebook because I heard all this bad stuff about Facebook, about secrecy and, you know, all that stuff. And so now it's just letters. But
okay. So now you write letters to her.
We're so far away. What?
When do you see her?
I saw her earlier. I saw her last year in March. I came out there to visit, not just to visit her, to visit her family, to visit, they're all friends, we're all friends and stuff, but we have a traditional kind of thing where it's more like honor your parents, schedule, go through the parents, and don't violate what the parents need. We're not kids, though.
How old are you?
We honor the parents.
How old are you?
I know this is a little odd probably for you. I'm 44.
Okay. Have you ever been married?
And she's not a kid either. She's not a kid either.
How old is she?
She's 30.
Have you ever been married?
No, I've never been married.
Okay.
And
have you ever had a long relationship?
No, I haven't really had any relationships since I was like a teen.
Okay.
I had all bad relationships and I just gave it up. But we really are very good friends. She's kind of like the kind of person you want at your front door, next door, but you don't love your next door neighbor like that. It's just a lot of love and care and respect.
Okay.
But it's just
have
so
you been
far
physically
away,
intimate with her?
No, we were very traditional on it.
Let me stop you for a second.
The best was a hug.
Okay. This is not true. You're not in a relationship with this woman. I hate to break it to you, but there is no relationship because for all we know, she's most likely having some intimacy with someone in the last 8 years that is not you. So I think what we need to do is we need to find another person who's geographically available, or you need to literally move to where she is and consummate this relationship in some physical way to see if there's chemistry. But right now you're in love with a fantasy. You don't even know what it would be like to kiss her or touch her. And so
I've hugged her and stuff like that, but not like, you know, what you're
okay,
saying.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. I would love for you to call me back next Tuesday because we really need to dig deeper. Thank you all for listening. I will be back with you next week. Be great to yourselves and great to your kids. Thank you.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.